Welcome to the Susquehanna Valley Baptist Pulpit, preaching a life worth living, abundant life in Christ. And now the message.
Hosea chapter number 4. This is a minor prophet in the scriptures. Be one that you perhaps do not hear much as it relates to preaching and teaching from the Old Testament, Hosea, but an important passage in our life, and really all scripture is given by inspiration of God. Note there in chapter number 4, hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel, for the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. That's a powerful indictment, isn't it? In fact, if you just read that word and you leave out ye children of Israel, you could apply that to practically any country on the face of the earth. You could look at some of the behaviors of our country. You look at some of the behaviors of countries within the European Union, some countries within the continent of Africa or even of Asia, South America. And you could say, wow, there's no truth nor mercy nor knowledge of God in the land. Now, the problem is here, it's written to the children of Israel. And if ever there was a group of people that this should not be said of, it was that group of people. God had called out their progenitor, Abraham, out of the Ur of the Chaldees. God had communed with him. God had provided with him. God had not only provided with him, but the covenant he made with him extends all the way down past the years of Hosea and all of the minor prophets. Yea, even down through Nehemiah and into the Gospels, etc., even to the Jewish people in the future, as it does today. It's a unique covenant that God had with them. He has kept it. And they were given the oracles of God. They were given the promise of the Messiah. And yet the indictment that is made here, there is no truth nor mercy nor knowledge of God in the land. Note verse number 2. By swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break out and blood toucheth blood. All of these are reference. Most of these, I should say, are a reference to Exodus chapter 20, the Ten Commandments. How did they not have knowledge of the land? They could have just read of the Ten Commandments of Moses' day and read about bearing false witness and killing and stealing and murdering and committing of an adultery are all forbidden in those texts. Therefore, verse number 3, shall the land mourn, and everyone that dwelleth therein shall language with the beast of the field and with the fowls of the heaven. Yea, the fish of the sea also shall not be taken away, or rather shall be taken away. It's interesting, because there was no knowledge of truth, no knowledge of God, no mercy in the land. The reason there was no knowledge, they have not investigated the truths of the Word of God. It wasn't that God hid the knowledge. They had not done their due diligence. And now you get the consequence. You'll note there, the land will mourn. All the people of the land are going to languish. At least the field, the fowls of the heaven, the fish of the sea also should be taken away. Now there's a consequence that exists. God's judgment will be against them. Verse number 4, let no man strive nor reprove another, for thy people are as they that strive with priests. Therefore shalt thou fail in the day, the prophet also shall fall with thee in the night, and I will destroy thy mother. Well, why are we being destroyed? Verse number 6. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Why? Because thou hast rejected knowledge. I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God. I will also forget thy children. Note that phrase. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. God's general revelation to humanity is the heavens, the earth, the handiwork of creation. But that is not the only revelation that humanity has. He has given to us His words, His written words. And His written words touch on every topic that humanity, or for that matter, any civilization should ever want to know. Take, for instance, verse number 2 for a moment. If you wanted to find out what God's thought was about swearing, and now these are more along the lines of swearing of oaths, How would you determine that? You'd only need to look at the Word of God. If you wanted to understand God's thought about lying, and there are various aspects of lying, you would move beyond a word study into a topical study. And when you deal with lying, you could deal with deceptive talk. You could deal with lying straightforward as you and I do. But you could also deal with the bearing of false witnesses. If you wanted to know God's idea of killing, be that in a matter of warfare, be that in a matter of self-defense, or be that in the form of capital punishment, you could find that out. If you wanted to understand God's opinion on theft, of stealing, in fact, in later minor prophets, he's going to accuse God's people of stealing from him. If you want to know God's opinion on committing adultery, the only necessity is to study these topics. And that's the thought this morning that we're going to look into, the topical study. It is another wonderful way in which to study the Scriptures, the use of topical study. The value of a topical study should never be trivialized. In fact, there are many today that focus almost exclusively on passages studies. Maybe you would consider it more along the lines of a book study. But a topical study has an important place and should have an important place in the toolbox of every believer that desires to study the Word of God. Unlike previous studies, a topical study focuses on a theme such as the grace of God, or a direct topic from which we gain the name topical study, like salvation by faith. A topical study, if you will, is more broad than a word study. So I mentioned to you this just a moment ago. I said, if you wanted to know what God thought about lying, well, you could take your concordance on a word study and you could look up every time the word lying is used and you could put that in the correct sense. But a topical study would be slightly more expansive than that. You would want to include bearing false witnesses. That would be an important thing. You'd want to do the idea of breaking of an oath that you have made. That's a form of lying. You'd want to include in that topical study maybe deception as well, in addition to just the thought of lying. That's what a topical, it is all conclusive in its scope. Now, there are many reasons in which one should use this type of study. And I've given you four here in no particular order, though we could order them in a better way than what we find them in our notes, perhaps. But one reason is to gain clarity to a topic or theme of Scriptures. I mentioned to you last week in a word study, I said, be careful. One of the failures sometimes that we students of the Bible make is we attempt to define a word in the Bible by its definition today. And so, for instance, we might look in Philippians chapter 4 where Paul communicated with the saints that were, the saints that were Philippi communicated with the Apostle Paul. And I said, well, when we look at this word communicate in our mind, what does that mean? It has the idea of talking. But in the context of how it's being used in Scriptures, he's not talking about a written letter. He's certainly not talking about a digital expression. He's talking about finances, having something in common there. And so a topical study would give clarity to a topic or theme of Scriptures. It will, if you will, give you an idea of what it actually means in one sense. A second reason is it prioritizes God's statement about a topic. We're going to look at the whole counsel of the Word of God on a topic. You'll get a very good idea of what God thinks about lying. In fact, you go to Proverbs chapter 6, which if you were doing a topical study on lying, you're going to come to Proverbs chapter 6, and he's going to say, these things do I hate. And one of them, he speaks of lying lips. So in your topical study, you would include that and say, what does God think about lying? Not much at all. He hates it. That would be the essence of it. So it prioritizes what God thinks. A third reason is it will assist in gathering divine principles for decision making. This is so important. A lot of times we talk about the lack of discernment in the life of a Christian. You know, several years ago I began to pray about this. How do you teach discernment? How do you teach discernment? The Old Testament concept is judgment. Not, I rule this over this, but it's the level of discernment. I spoke to a magistrate judge here a couple years ago, and I said, what's the hardest thing about your job? And he said, that's an easy one. He said, it's not the law. He said, the law is complex, and there's precedent. And he said, there's so many safeguards built in our system that if I was to err, there's ways in which that individual can be protected from my erring from the law. He said, that's not the hard part. He said, there's advocates that someone will get. And if they don't get one, one can be provided by the court. He said, the law is not the most complex thing. And I said, well, what is? He said, knowing which person's lying to me. Discernment. He said, that is so difficult. He said, he's a preacher. He said, there'll be people that will come before a court, and he said, they'll be lying. But everything they're telling me sounds truthful. And he began to go into some, not case-specific details, but just some general details on that. Well, how do you teach discernment? I mean, my soul, how do you get that? Well, I want to tell you one of the reasons why there is so little discernment upon God's people, they've never really done a topical study of the Word of God. If you'll do a topical study of the Word of God, you'll know what God thinks. And you'll find not only implicit truths, implicit means directly given, but you'll also, or rather, I got that backwards, explicit, directly given. Implicit means the principles of the Word of God. This morning, we're going to speak on Ephesians chapter 5, and it's talking about speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, and ask the average Christian, what's good music or bad music? And most times, you know what the determining factor is? How I feel about music. And how I feel about music can be how I was raised, right? What I was exposed to. As a young man, I was never exposed to, or never had the opportunity to be exposed either, to the ability to learn a musical instrument. I cannot read music. Now, that I could have fixed. I'm at the point in life now where I don't want to commit the time to it. There's too many other things I feel more inclined to learn how to read. I never had the opportunity to take trumpet lessons and violin lessons and piano lessons. Those opportunities were not present for me. And so I could look at that and say, because they were not present, I can like a different form of music when it comes to church worship. How do you get that answer? Is really everything so nebulous that we have to use our own personal experience to understand what God wants? But then you go to a passage in Scriptures, Ephesians chapter 5, and it just talks of one verse. It only says one thing about music in the entire fifth chapter of Ephesians. So if I'm studying down through Ephesians in detail, I'm going to get one verse. This is the beauty of a topical study. I get to look from Genesis all the way to Revelations, and I can glean together explicit things that God doesn't like and implicit things to help me gather divine principles for decision-making in my life. Number four, it allows me to gain a comprehensive view on the subject matter. I get to see it in all of its aspects and angles. Every way in human history that God preserved for me, I can see it in that way. And that's a wonderful thing. One of our examples this morning, our primary example, is giving. Giving unto God. And the fact is, you can look at a host of ways. There are some things, from a topical point of view, that you can look about giving to God that you could find you could give the wrong things to God. Cain did that. There are things that you should give to God. The frequency of how you should give to God. The heart matter of how you ought to give to God. More than just a singular passage, you're looking at the whole counsel. It is a comprehensive view on any subject matter. A topical study should play an important role in the arsenal of every Bible student. This is especially true today. Consider with me the following. Today, we have so many things being pummeled upon us. For instance, how do I find what God's view is? Or what God says, rather, about abortion. How do I know whether abortion is right and wrong? Is it right and wrong in any condition? Are there limitations to it? Are there certain times that it's less wrong than others? Is there certain times it's okay? Do you get my point? taking a topical view gives you a whole view of God's counsel on the matter. And that really drives it home. Remember, one of the dangers of a word study was be careful not to twist the word in what you want. Well, looking at the topical, I'm looking at not only a word, but I'm looking at the whole panoply of the subject. And I get a comprehensive view, and I can ascertain from the comprehensive study of the Word of God, God's feelings, in fact, not only His feelings, but His facts about abortion. For instance, today there's a lot about gender assignment and gender modification. What is God's viewpoint on that? You say, well, preacher, that was silly. That was not around in the time of Scriptures. Well, I would remind you what Solomon said. There is no new thing under the sun. I would tell you that in the days of ancient past, you had men dressing like women and women dressing like men. And God had very specific, pointed facts that He conveyed about that, both in the Old and New Testament. What does God say? A topical study will gain you that expertise. It is interesting. I saw this the other day, you know, this summer. I don't know how many of you care about this, but you got the Tour de France. One of the elite bicycle races that encompasses portions, I believe, of the Alps, etc. It is a grueling, multi-day sporting endeavor. And I saw this little meme that came by. Had this guy look like a biker from, you know, one of these Hell's Angels guy on his Harley. And it's got him leading the pack. And the meme says, this motorcyclist identifies as a bicyclist and just won the Tour de France. I laughed at it. It just hit me at the right time. What does God feel about all of that? What's God's feeling on it? After all, it doesn't matter what your opinion is. I mean, we ought to have a predisposition for what God says. There ought to be a level of integrity and honesty. Well, what did He say? A topical study gathers that. What did God say about marriage? What did God say about personal holiness? So a lot of times people look and make decisions and they've got one passage. There are over 1,300 chapters in the Scriptures. And one verse, and that's what you based everything out of. Now, that may be right, but how do you know that verse is in the context? What's the comprehensive view of the topic you're talking about? Whether it is personal or political, the Bible is the never-ending mine of truth. A topical study is an important tool in which both the explicit, that's black and white, and the implicit, that's the principles, truth of the Word of God are gathered. Topical study will gain you both the principles and the direct, blunt sayings of God. It will glean all of them and allow us a comprehensive view on the subject. Now, there are some resources. These are very similar to what you're going to see next week and what you saw last week, so I'm not going to touch on these as much, but you definitely need a good Bible. I would recommend that if you are not well-versed in finding the minor prophets, the major prophets, then maybe get a Bible that has at least a good cross-reference, center column type cross-reference. You'll want to do that. I'd recommend a study Bible. There's a number of good ones that are present in this area. You'll want to obviously have a notebook and a pen. You'll also want to maybe have a good concordance, and I put a Knave's topical Bible. And I brought my copy. I have not used this in quite some time. Orville Knave really did, well, you can see the thickness of this. I don't know how many pages it is. He's got an index in the back, but it's close to 1,500 pages worth of topical studies. You can look at this. Now, this is not an exhaustive topical Bible. So what I mean by that is it's got great passages that are listed, great number of passages. For instance, if you talk about giving, I think if we turn to giving, I think I marked it here. He's got 1, 2, 3, 4 verses about giving. Now, is that all there is about giving in Scriptures? Oh, absolutely not. But that's a good start. And this makes us a good reference tool. And then down at the bottom, on the topical Bible, because remember I told you a word study, you're focusing mainly on the word that is used and expanding only to the sense of that word. a topical study now is moving beyond that word into words that would be associated or in the same topic of that. For instance, what are other words in the scriptures that mean giving or relate to the topic of giving? Can you think of any? What's that? Share. I mentioned communicate was another one. Here's one for you. Alms. Alms. Another one might be liberality. That's 2 Corinthians. Another one might be benefits. All of those are present. So when you look at giving, you would look down at his verses, and at the bottom, he's got C also. And so he did a whole topical study, not an exhaustive one, but one on alms, one on liberality, one on these. And you could also look at sacrifice. Sacrifice is something of a gift as well to God. You could look up, in a sense, gifts to God, but then you're going to have to call some of that out because sometimes it's talking about a spiritual gift. And that's what a Knave's topical Bible does. Its value is placed in someone else having done some amount of study to kind of get you started, but also giving you other areas which you can incorporate as part of your overarching topic. This particular one talks about 20,000 topics and subtopics with more than 100,000 associated scripture references. Now, that is a Knave's topical Bible. You do not have to buy the book. In a lot of cases, you can get them on one of those apps we mentioned last week. And all you've got to do is just type the words in. It has never been easier. When I was a young man and in Bible college, I can remember I had a job for Nanny Coke Homes. They had this job open. I was working two jobs, but one about 30 hours a week, another one 5 or 10 hours a week. And this opened. They said, "Are you interested in it?" And I said, "Sure, I'll take it." And what it involved is me going into this home, and I had to be there from, I think it was 3 to 6. And there was a desk, and I could sit at the desk, and I had to be there 3 days a week. And if anybody came in 3 to 6, I would show them the house and give them information. If nobody came in, they paid me for the 3 hours. And I'm going to tell you, when I went, I wrote many a term paper from that desk, Nanny Coke Homes. But when I was going, man, I had to have 10, 12 books. I had two book bags of books that I would take and set up and have my little laptop. Has no access to Internet. That was not even really that big of a thing 20 years ago, the same way it is today. And I would type using these. Today, it's amazing that if I could go back with the technology of today, I could have had my Bible and my cell phone, and I'd have had more resources than I could have ever carted back and forth. It has never been easier as access to study the Word of God. Another thing is, in addition to a topical Bible, having an exhaustive concordance. That's a powerful one that is there. Word study tool list is important as well. You look back on chapter 3. Well, how do we do it? Well, number one, we select the topic of study. Select the topic of study. It's important to give care in this matter. Some topics are so broad that they may take quite some time to conclude. Choose with specificity and purpose in mind. Example, abortion. We mentioned that one earlier. The quality of meekness might be a good one. Meekness is not mentioned thousands of times in scriptures. Another one, and we've mentioned this when we use this as an example, giving to God. That would be a good source of study. So you choose the topic. And obviously, I did not say this, but it's important to soak this matter of prayer. Don't spin your wheels. Don't just assume, well, it's something I want to study. What is the Lord leading you to study would be a better way to express this. Number two, choose the verses that fit within the scope of your study. A concordance will be valuable in this area, and I would again encourage you, an exhaustive concordance would be valuable in this area, not just the one in the back of your Bible. If you are studying the topic, the will of God, you may want to be more specific in the verses that you use. Why? Sometimes the will of God is in reference to the Lord's will for Jesus Christ. Sometimes it's the will of God, it's directly for a particular judge or king, etc. So you kind of want to hone that down with a little specificity that is there. Remember to include in your study any associated passages that you may have missed. If you are studying giving to God, make sure you include words and phrases like sacrifice, communicate, alms, things along that nature. That's what makes it a topic as opposed to a word study. Number three, develop a list of questions. As you study and categorize the verses, prepare a few questions that will serve to maximize your study. If you're studying the topic, giving to God, good questions. There are a number of good questions to ask along with your study. They would be like the following. What is giving to God? What is giving to God? What does that mean? A second one is, who gave to God? Throughout the scriptures, who were different individuals that gave to God? Did lost men give to God? Did saved men give to God? Did nations give to God? Or was it always just saints? So that's a good question to ask. Another one would be, what is a proper gift to God? And we will not have time to look at all these questions, but this was an interesting one to me. How often should one give to God? I mean, I'm looking at a topic. How often is, did God give any guidance whatsoever on how I'm supposed to give? And then I think another one is, why would one give? He giveth me all things. Why would I give him anything? And that's the capitalist phrase, isn't it? Why would I give to God? He gave everything to me. Obviously, these questions may change study to study. The goal of a topical study is not just to find verses, but rather to find applicable truth to life so that we have discernment for the future. So these questions, if you're doing a topical study on giving to God, these may not be the exact questions that you want to ask. There's no inspiration. God didn't breathe these questions. These are just general thoughts on how or what I might be looking at. Why would I do a giving to God? Well, because I love him because he first loved me, because the scripture mentions it. It might be stirred and focused around questions that are applicable to my life. And I even left off how much should one give. I didn't even put that in there. Notice that's not in the blank. So people might be more concerned about that. But it's to find applicable truth that will grant me discernment in life. Number four, this might be the most time consuming. Categorize your verses according to the questions. This is perhaps the most time consuming part of a topical study. It's categorizing. So you take your gifts, you would maybe make a column. I've given you a reference here. In fact, let me read the notes here. Often, the more verses to a topic, the more questions that can be created. Categorizing them can prove a challenge. To help, create a table on a sheet of paper. For those of you that hate computers, a ruler or piece of ruled sheet will work well. For those that are a little bit more adventuresome or computer savvy to some level, Excel might be helpful in this. One benefit about Excel that I have learned, and I use various programs for this, but I love the ability to query. What's that mean? Search. So pull my information down, and I did that not recently. I have in my program, and I'm dealing speaking to yourselves of psalms and hymns and song, and I was like, wow, I've preached on this before. So I have about 10 years worth of sermons on my phone, and I can go into my little thing and query hymns, and it will pop up all the times I type the word hymn in various lessons. And then I can click and be like, oh man, that was well said. That was well said. That's worth saying again. Copy and paste. And it makes it so much easier than finding the notes back and forth, you know, as it is. But Excel would give you that opportunity. As you continue through this process, you'll find that you have some verses that overlap with some of your questions. In this case, you may want to restructure or remove some questions, depending on what your idea of what you're trying to accomplish with your topical study. Let me give you an illustration before we get to application. So I've got a table here, and I did this in Publisher. So you can use tables various formats. But at the top, I've got questions, I've got passages I looked up, and then I've got answers to said questions. So our question we'll look at, and this is just one for example set, what is a proper gift to God? What does the scripture say? So now I've looked up all these verses, hundreds of verses about giving, sacrifice, alms, and I've just listed some. Well, in Leviticus chapter 27, he talks about the tithe being holy. So obviously, there was tithing, and that was acceptable to God. I could look at 2 Chronicles chapter 31, and particularly verse 5, and he talks about giving unto God the first fruits of corn, wine, oil, and honey. Now, the first fruits was not a tithe. The first fruits was a portion of those first harvests that you have. Sometimes you'll run into the word firstlings, and that's usually talking about the animals, or first fruits talking about the vegetation. In Romans chapter 12, though, he talks about presenting your body. So presenting your body before the Lord is an acceptable gift to God. And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, he talks about giving as God has prospered you. These do not form a complete, this is not obviously an exhaustive list of verses, but now you can get a picture of how we're answering a question. And we answered the question with the Word of God. And that brings us to number 5, application. Once all of your questions have been answered, it is time to combine these into application. We're not looking for knowledge. We're looking for discernment. I'm looking for something that I can order my life that this is what I ought to do. You can look at this as a statement, as being some point of biblical viewpoint on the topic. In fact, for those of you that are familiar with doctrinal statements, this is how you would develop a doctrinal statement. You can develop a doctrinal statement by topical study. What do I believe about the Bible? All the verses about the Word of God, Scriptures, the law of God, and then begin to sort them. This is what I believe is inspired. This is preserved, and this is this, and this is this, and this is eternal, and this is settled, and it's the Word of God. And it allows you then to cobble all that together into maybe even a paragraph where you're writing out, and where every statement you make, every sentence you make within the paragraph, you can back up with the Word of God. And that gives you a whole view on the matter. You could, if you will, order your life by it. Well, what are some good topics? Though we have already given a couple of topics earlier in the lesson, below is a larger group of topics that you should consider. These are really not as broad as what do we believe about the Bible. These are made for us to engage in. There's not always 10,000 passages on these. These are made for us to particularly use. Think about the anger of man. That's a good topic, the anger of man. How about trusting in God? Now, this would be more of an expansive one, but prayer. Because if you're doing a topical study on prayer, think about that for a moment. What else should that include? Supplication, petitions, intercession, and all of a sudden you're writing a book on a topical study of prayer. So that would be one that you want to take an angle of that. What is intercessory prayer? What is supplication? What is petition? What does the actual word prayer mean outside of a general sense? Topical studies. For instance, it could also, if you were looking at prayer, it could also reference the prayers of Christ. The prayers of Christ. That could be its own study. What prayers do we have in the Bible specifically that Christ prayed? And you can chronicle them and break them down and ask questions about that. Thankfulness would be another one. Patience. Contentedness with possessions. Labor and wealth. What does God say about my labor and wealth? What does God say about wealth? What does he say about Christians and wealth? What does he talk about contentedness with possessions? I can get in some pretty specific verses. How about forgiveness? What does God say about forgiveness? I'm never going to forgive. Well, what does God say about forgiveness? What does God say about child rearing? We did something of a little topical study about that last Sunday night. What does God say about a godly spouse? So you could divide this two ways, right? Husband or wife. What does God say? What does a godly husband look like? Sometimes we would say, well, I can't put it into words. But you really can. A topical study will allow you to put it in words. This group of topical studies could be endless. The Scripture touches on every aspect of our life. If we desire to have God's mind on a matter, we must simply apply ourselves to diligence in the study of the Word of God. The topical study, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. May God add blessing. Father.
Thank you for listening. If you'd like to contact us, please write us at P.O. Box 126-541, Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, 17112. And visit our website at www.svbcpa.org. Until next time.